Amen. Good morning.
Good to see a great crowd here. I feel a bit surrounded. But appreciate the hymn selection this morning. And it's always a blessing as a preacher when you feel like the song leader, with the help of the Lord, has selected hymns that line up with the message. It's very confirming. And I hope you've noticed a theme running through the hymns this morning on the subject of faith. Faith, trust. And we're dealing today with Moses and a very important decision of faith he made in his life. And that's the message the Lord's laid on my heart, and I believe the hymns were very confirming on that theme this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. We've had the Hebrews reference read nicely for us, but we're going to turn back to Exodus chapter 2. In our church back home, we are doing a series through the book of Exodus at the moment. And so I'm going to share this message from that series. We will be spending a lot of our time in the Hebrews passage. There's no greater commentary on the Bible than the Bible itself. And especially when you have New Testament light on an Old Testament passage, it helps so much with our understanding and many of the spiritual applications that we can find. So Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 11 to 15. I'll read it for you. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbour wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." Now over to Hebrews 11, and we'll pretty well stay there, I think, for the message this morning. Hebrews 11. And we'll just reread those verses that we had read to us this morning. Hebrews 11 and verse 23 to 27. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Let's ask the Lord for his help this morning. Father, we thank you for this thy eternal word. Lord, we ask now that you would put your hand upon this time. Lord, you know many are tired from a big day yesterday and all the travel and various things, but we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen each one now by the Spirit of God in the inner man, that we may have receptive hearts to your word. Lord, we pray that this message might be used of you to help set lives in the right direction this morning. We thank you for Moses and for his decision of faith, Lord, that led him in a godly direction. And we just pray this morning that you would have your will and your way through the message. We pray you would take me, Lord, as your vessel this morning, empty me of self, fill me with thy spirit that I might be a blessing to the folks here this morning. And we will thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. The life of Moses divides very neatly into three 40-year periods. He lived for 120 years old, until he was 120 years old. And Moses spent the first 40 years, we could say, as a student, learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then Moses spent 40 years as a shepherd in the service of Jethro. And then Moses spent 40 years, we could say, as a servant, serving the Lord in his life's ministry. And someone wisely said, It has been said that Moses spent 40 years in the court of Pharaoh learning to be something. Then he spent 40 years in the desert of Midian learning to be nothing. Then he spent 40 years on the road to Canaan proving God to be everything. And so we see that wonderful spiritual lesson right there as we survey the life of Moses. And in many ways, we have to learn to be nothing in order that God might use us to do something for him. And we see that in the life of Moses. And the scripture readings today bring us to that point in Moses' life where he is now a fully grown adult. He's 40 years of age. And Moses is at a crossroads. Will he continue in the palace of Pharaoh with all of its potential for pleasure and for worldly goods and worldly fame? Or would he make the choice to align himself with God's despised people? And so the title of the message this morning is Moses Makes a Choice. Moses makes a choice. And Hebrews 11 reveals to us that faith was behind what took place there in Exodus chapter 2. Now, Moses' faith was still immature in many respects. God had much to do in the life of Moses. But we see Moses making a choice that led him in a godly direction. Oh, don't ever underestimate the power of the choices you make. Don't ever underestimate where your decisions might take you. In fact, I heard a wonderful message once at a youth camp, and the whole message was this: your decisions determine your destiny. And you need to think about the choices that you make. And as God's people, we need to be making choices that are based upon faith and choices that lead us in the direction of God and godliness rather than the world and worldliness. So I want to look at a number of points this morning. Several points about Moses' faith and the decision of faith he made. We'll get to that decision in a moment. But firstly, we could say we notice the development of Moses' faith there in the Exodus chapter. And Moses' actions in that passage, though imperfect, reveal a faith that had grown. Now think about the seed of Moses' faith, the seed of Moses' faith. We see that there in verse 23 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And the seed of Moses' faith was planted in his heart by his godly parents. And we don't know all the training that they gave him, but by the time Moses reached 40 years, he was convinced of several key truths. He knew he was a Hebrew, one of God's chosen people, Acts chapter 7, 23. Moses believed that God would use him to deliver his people, Acts 7:25. And then Moses, at the age of 40, rejected the wealth and fame of Egypt and chose a life of faith and separation with the people of God. I submit to you that the seed of that faith was planted in his heart by godly Amram and Jochebed. He would not have got that training in the halls of power. He would not have got that training in the court of Pharaoh.
That one's cutting in now. I'm sorry,
mate. Oh, okay. Yeah. No worries. I could probably do without it, potentially. We'll see how we go, but keep it going.
Turn the other one off, I think, mate.
Yeah? Okay, it means I can't move around. It's devastating. It's devastating. It's okay. It's working at the moment.
It just keeps cutting in now.
On certain words.
On certain words. Okay.
Key words.
Okay. First hurdle to overcome there. Okay, sound. I'm glad we're not the only ones that have problems with sound occasionally back in Adelaide there. And so I submit to you that Amram and Jochebed seized those few years that they had with Moses to implant in him the word of God and the truth of who he was and the truth concerning his destiny. And parents, there's a challenge there for us, isn't there? That we need to seize the opportunity that we have. We only have a very short window of opportunity to implant the truth of the Word of God into the precious hearts of our children. And we're living in a day-to-day where many parents are just squandering and wasting that opportunity that they have and handing the hearts and minds of their precious children over to people who are godless and don't care about the things of God. Listen, education is a very powerful thing. And the world understands the power of education. And what we see in Moses' parents there was a spirit of faith, because by faith they hid him, by faith they protected him from the king's evil commandment, and the faith of the parents helped to shape the life of Moses. The seed of Moses' faith. The sprouting of Moses' faith. Now we see that faith beginning to bear fruit at the age of 40. As Moses leaves the comfort of the palace and looks upon the burdens of his people. And that phrase, looked on their burdens, has the sense to see with emotion. It's more than just a glance. It's a look that comes with a heart. And we see Moses' heart beginning to be stirred for the people of God and the life's work that God had for him. But we come, number two, this morning to what I would call the decision of Moses' faith. And this is really the heart of the message in many ways this morning. The decision of Moses' faith. And we see that decision in verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What's that word in verse 25? Choosing. Say the word. Choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a choice. And by faith, he made the right choice. The eye of faith helped him to see the right direction to take. And this faith led him, on the one hand, to refuse some things, and on the other hand, to embrace some things. And faith involves both aspects. Young people, you're going to have to learn to say no to some things in your life. But it's not enough to only say no to the evil things. You must also turn and embrace God and the things of God. And we see that in the life of Moses, what we could call faith's refusal. Faith's refusal. Faith's refusal. And under that, consider a number of points about that. Number one, when he refused. When was it that Moses made this refusal of the things of the world? We'll look at it there in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Moses is now at this critical time in his life of 40 years of age. Now, for many of us here today, 40 sounds old. And I'm getting scared because I've got 2 years to go before I hit 40, and that's a daunting thing. But apparently, older people tell me that's still young and fresh, so I'm encouraged by that. But understand, in the context of a life that spanned 120 years, really for Moses, 40 years of age was like young adulthood. He was a young man in the context of a 120-year life. And it was at this critical time in his life, as an adult, as a young adult, he made the right decision. Oh, I'm here to tell you, young people, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to make some very important decisions. And right now you might be under mum and dad's authority, but the time is going to come where you are going to have to choose for yourself. The time is going to come where you are going to have to make the right choice to refuse the world on the one hand and to embrace God and godliness on the other. It's so important that you make the right decisions, you make the right choices at those critical crossroads that you come to in your life. Oh, I believe the devil throws a lot of things at young people because he knows if he can get the trajectory of your life headed in the wrong direction, it can take many years before you recover and get back to where you need to be. And so be aware of that. The devil's going to throw everything at you as a young man or a young woman to try and throw you off track. Be careful and have a faith that leads you in the right direction. Your decisions determine your destiny. And that time is coming for you, if it hasn't already. We enjoyed the wedding yesterday. But you don't have a wedding like that without godly decisions being made in individuals' lives. And we're not saying the couple is perfect by any stretch, but I'm saying the reason why we had the wedding we had yesterday was because there were two young people who at key points in their lives made the right choices. And they could have gone out into the world and found some loose boyfriend or girlfriend. They could have gone out and enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. But by the grace of God, at key points in their lives, they made decisions, the decisions of faith to choose God. And I'm here to encourage you this morning, young people, the time is going to come when you are going to have to choose. Oh, and you've got to make the right choice at that time. When he refused. Look then at what he refused. What he refused. Look at what Moses turned his back on. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses refused the three big temptations of the world. Number one, he refused the world's popularity. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't skip over that statement. To be the son of Pharaoh's daughter was to have celebrity status in the ancient world. Don't forget, we're dealing with the most powerful nation on earth at the time, the mighty nation of Egypt. That nation dominated the world with its military at the time. It was a very powerful nation. The pharaohs had tremendous wealth and tremendous power, and to refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter was to refuse a life of celebrity status, a life of fame. You know, fame ruins many people. Celebrity status ruins many people. And the world glamorizes fame. But many of the people who have fame out there are a mess. It ruins them. We know that Moses had a reputation in the nation. He was mighty, Acts 7:22 tells us, in words and deeds. He had fame. He was mighty in words. Oh, if you could have heard Moses speak, his speeches just attracted thousands of listeners. I mean, people hung on his every word. He was mighty in deeds. Josephus, the historian, tells us that Moses was a military general who led the Egyptian army successfully in a battle against the Ethiopians that were also a very powerful nation at that time. And so you can see how Moses had reputation in the nation. Moses had a position of fame, but faith led him to reject that, to turn his back on all of that, and in its place choose God and God's people. Do you see what he's turning his back on? I mean, can you imagine the popularity Moses must have had? I mean, single ladies fainted when he went by in his gleaming chariot. I mean, everybody wanted to follow him on Instaglyphs and Sphinx Social. I mean, he had millions and millions of followers on Egypt Book, and thousands read his scrollog every day entitled The Princess and I. And we're being silly, of course, but you see what he's turning his back on. I mean, you would have seen his picture in the Nile News, the Delta Daily, and the Pyramid Post on a regular basis. And that's what the world idolizes. But the eye of faith sees through all the surface glitz and glamour. You know, the world's full of glitz and glamour. It looks so glamorous. Oh, but faith helps you to see past the superficiality of all of that. And we want people who, by the grace of God, can make choices that will lead them in a direction, a godly direction of a life of substance and a life of true worth and a life of true blessing. You know, for Moses, this meant going against his adopted mother. He was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We don't know much about her, but we could say she was a woman of compassion. And God used her, of course, providentially to rescue Moses. But that would have been a hard decision to make. I mean, tradition tells us, we don't know if it's true or not, but tradition tells us that this particular Egyptian princess was unable to have children herself. And possibly Moses was even in line to the throne. You know, the path of faith is sometimes going to cut across some natural ties in your life. Now, hopefully, if you've got godly people, they'll support you. But sometimes it's not always that way. Sometimes the decision of faith is going to lead you contrary to natural affection. It's going to lead you contrary to some people who don't understand your decision and don't support your decision. Moses refused the world's popularity. Listen, don't get caught up in that, especially in this social media world that people live in, unfortunately. And it's all about having as many followers as I can have and building a name for myself. It's just shallow. Faith will lead you in a different direction to that. But look at the second big temptation he refused, faith's refusal, the world's pleasures. The world's pleasures. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God, Moses chose God's people over temporary pleasures. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Young people, I'm not going to lie to you today and tell you there's no pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin, but for a season. And a season has a start and it has a finish, and it's never worth it. It's never worth it. But you know, the world never shows you the other side of sin, does it? The world never shows you the breakage. The devil never shows you the scars. The devil never shows you the terrible pit at the other end of those pleasures. And you have to have the eye of faith to see through the temporary pleasures of this world and choose God. Because faith values the eternal over the temporal. The pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, how the world shows you sin's springtime, but it doesn't show the dark, cold winter that comes afterwards, does it? Proverbs 20, verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Proverbs 23, 31 to 32, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Oh, think about it, the consequences of sin. But the entertainment industry doesn't show you that, does it? It just shows you the glitz. It shows you the glamour. It shows you the temporary pleasure. Oh, but there's lasting blessings with God. I'm so thankful that as a 15-year-old young man, God got a hold of my life, because I was at a crossroads in my life at that time, and the pleasures of sin looked so wonderful out there, and I was almost drawn away into it. And by the grace of God, God got a hold of me through Psalm 84:11. It's my life's verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And it's like the Lord said to me, Simeon, you're looking out here. You think there's things out there in the world that that you're missing out on. But if you'll just follow me, if there's something truly good for your life, I won't withhold that from you. Amen. And I'm not that old, but I already am so thankful. Absolutely. I'm so thankful that God helped me by faith to choose eternal blessings over temporal pleasures. You know, time's a great prover of things. Right. You might have a friend and they might seem to be having so much fun, you think you're missing out. Just give it time.
Yeah, that's right.
And as the time rolls by and you see the breakage and you see the wreckage and you see the carnage that sin brings in people's lives, you'll thank God 100 times over you didn't follow them. Choosing. That's an amazing choice, to choose affliction over pleasure. The afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith's refusal. You're going to have to say no to some things. Young people, you're going to have to say no to some things. Not just young people, seniors, you're going to have to say no to some things. Sometimes a message like this gets very directed to young people, but as a young man, I've seen older people make very stupid decisions. Older saints that should have known better. Older saints that should have drawn on their wealth of Bible knowledge and put it into practice, and they go flying off on some doctrinal tangent or go flying off on some sort of foolish direction. No, it applies to every Christian here. You have to be careful what you choose. Faith's refusal. Third thing he refused, the world's prosperity. The world's prosperity. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's quite something, isn't it? Choosing affliction over pleasure, reproach over treasure. Now again, don't miss the significance of this. The wealth of the pharaohs was staggering. In 1922, an archaeologist by the name of Howard Carter discovered the tomb of King Tutankhamun, King Tut. How many of you heard of King Tut? And it was one of the few graves that hadn't been plundered by grave robbers. And it gives you just a little glimpse. As I understand it, it was only a fairly, he was not necessarily a very high ranking pharaoh or pharaoh's son, whatever he was there. But it gives you a little glimpse into some of the wealth or the treasures of Egypt. His coffin, the innermost coffin, the third of three, was solid gold, weighing approximately 110 kilograms. Wouldn't you like to have a few kilos of that? With today's cost of living crisis, might buy you a few eggs. But do you see what Moses is turning his back on? I mean, people in the world would say, you're crazy. Moses, breathe in. Breathe in, breathe out. What are you doing, Moses? I mean, fame, fortune. Moses, you can have anything you want. Pleasures. I tell you what, if Moses wanted all the women of Egypt, he could have had them. He could have. Egypt, all you need to do is read Leviticus 18 to get a bit of an idea of the catalogue of perversity that existed in Egypt. I mean, within the pharaohs did not withhold any perverse pleasure from themselves. I mean, Moses could have had all of that, but faith has eyes for a different kind of woman. And there was a dear woman by the name of Zipporah. Humble, beautiful, waiting for him. But do you see what Moses is turning his back on? People would say, Moses, you're crazy. Moses, what are you doing? You've got it made. Why would you turn your back on all the pleasures and all the treasures of Egypt? Well, because faith sees eternal treasures and godly pleasures. Moses turned his back on the world's prosperity. You know, that's killing a lot of Christians today, isn't it? And we live in a very materialistic society. And I understand it's biblical for us to provide for our families as men. But there's a big difference between humbly providing for your family and making a god out of money. And making money your goal. You know, it's always a good decision to cut back on the temporal, to invest more in the eternal. Amen. Always. That's always the right decision to make. And faith will help you to make that decision. So we could say, by faith, Moses was enabled to overcome the lust of the flesh, Egypt's pleasures, the lust of the eyes, Egypt's treasures, and the pride of life, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Or we could say he rejected three of the world's biggest temptations: narcissism, hedonism, and materialism. What he refused. Look at why he refused. Well, it was by faith, wasn't it? By faith. By faith, Moses made this decision. That was why he refused the world's popularity, pleasures, and prosperity. I think we could say Moses was living with eternity in view. You know, that's so important, to live with eternity in view, to live with an eye to eternity. I believe it was Jonathan Edwards who prayed, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyes. Oh, how we need to live with an eternal perspective. Try and imagine for a moment your first moments in heaven after you've left this life, and try and imagine the kind of perspective in those first moments you would have on this world and all its glitz and glamour. Imagine the kind of perspective you would have. You know, in many ways, we need to try and have that heavenly mindset now by the help of the Spirit of God, and set our affections on things above and seek to see this world from eternity's point of view, as it were, to have the right mindset there, lest we waste our lives on that which does not count for eternity. Faith's refusal. Look then at faith's reward. Faith's reward. I don't think there's no reward in this kind of decision. Faith's refusal, but look then at faith's reward. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the, what's that word?
Reward.
I'm here to tell you, the blessings of following God far outweigh anything this world has to offer. The blessings of following God are just so wonderful in comparison to the shallow, superficial things of this world. Faith's reward. I think as you look at Moses' life from here, he had his ups and downs, but Moses' life was a truly blessed life. You know, the world would have us look at Moses' life from this angle and say, and see what he lost turning his back on Egypt. Maybe we should think about it from the other perspective and think about what Moses would have lost if he'd stayed in Egypt. And think about the spiritual treasures he would have forfeited. Think about it. If Moses hadn't made that key decision at the age of 40, if he'd chosen to stay on as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and just indulge in the pleasures of Egypt, he would have missed hearing God speak to him face to face. He would have missed seeing the mighty manifestation of the power of God shaking Mount Sinai and hearing the voice of God thundering forth the law. He would have missed seeing the 10 plagues and the mighty manifestations there of the power of God. He would have missed seeing the parting of the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness, and all of the manifold manifestations of the power and the wisdom and the blessing of God. You see, that's what faith will enable you to see, folks, this morning. It's no loss to turn your back on the world. That's not a loss. To go into the world and turn your back on God, that's the loss. To lose eternal treasures for temporal pleasures, to lose all the blessings of knowing God and following God and all the blessings that come with a life of faith, to lose that for a life of temporary pleasure in this sin-sick, broken world, that's the real loss. The real reward is in following God. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Some of you young people who are caught up in the social media world this morning, you need to get a hold of this. Some of you are drowning on Facebook, and some of you are drowning on Instagram and some of these platforms. And again, the world's just showing you all the glitz and the glamour, but it's all a lie.
That's right.
And you need to get off of that stuff and start investing your life in something that's going to count for eternity. Moses would have missed writing the first 5 books of the Bible. The rewards of faith are so wonderful. Again, I thank God regularly that God helped me to make the decision of faith as a 15-year-old. It was a key point. I would not be preaching to you here this morning. I would not be married to my dear wife with all of my brood. We're blessed and busy, I tell people. Blessed and busy. But I wouldn't have any of that. What would I have? Probably a very scarred and very miserable life. And listen to me, young people. Don't follow an older sibling who's chosen the world over God. Don't do it. Well, that's my older brother. I have to follow him. No, you don't. You don't have to follow them, and in the process of time, you will thank God again and again you didn't follow their foolish ways. And by the grace of God, the domino effect that was working its way through our family stopped with me, and that's no credit to me. It was the intervention of God. And it doesn't have to continue with you, no matter what your older siblings might be doing. I hope they're following God, but if they're not, don't follow them. You follow God. If Moses could turn his back on being the prince of Egypt, if Moses could turn his back on all the pleasures and all the prosperity that Egypt had to offer and choose God, you can too, by God's grace. And you will never regret it. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be all smooth sailing. There's afflictions. There's reproaches. But better to be on God's side, better be on the side of God's people and suffer with God than to have pleasure with the devil. So Moses was attracted to something far higher and more glorious than anything Egypt could offer. Do you get that? There is something far more glorious and far higher that God offers that this world can never give. Eternal rewards. The word respect here is a very interesting word. It says here that he had respect under the recompense of the reward. You dig into that word, and it's a compound word in the Greek made up of apo and blepo. It means to look away from, The word is in the imperfect tense, which indicates continuous action in the past. So it shows it was not just a once-off act for Moses, but a persistent mindset. He was looking away, making a deliberate choice to look away from Egypt and the world on an ongoing basis in order to look for the eternal reward. So you do have those key decision points in your life, but you have to go on, in a sense, making that choice.
That's right.
You say, by God's grace, I made the right choice as a teenager. Yeah, but you can blow it as a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old if you don't continue to look away from the world and look to the Lord. And have an eye on eternal rewards. That's what the word means, the respect of the recompense of the reward. It's a looking away from in order to fix your attention on the right thing. He was looking away from the things of Egypt in order to stay focused on eternal rewards. The linguistic key of the New Testament says the word was used of keeping one's attention fixed upon something, as an artist fixes his attention on the object of or model he is reproducing in painting or sculpture. So because of his faith, Moses saw things that the world does not see and understood things the world does not understand. What was the result? Well, the Believer's Bible Commentary puts it well. Instead of occupying a line or two of hieroglyphics on some obscure tomb, he is memorialized in God's eternal word. Instead of being found in a museum as an Egyptian mummy, he is famous as a man of God. What do you want to be? A mummy? A dead mummy in this world? Or a man or a woman of God? No, seriously. I mean, these pop stars and these movie stars and these rap stars, they might have some fame at the moment. They might have their millions of followers, but when they're dead in the grave, what does it all mean? And they're soon forgotten in the sands of time. Oh, but to be a man or woman of God, that lasts for eternity. The recompense of the reward. That phrase there comes from a compound word made up of the word misthos, reward, and apididomi, to give back. And so it's a beautiful picture there, reward, a reward, a giving back. You know, God gives us back. God, you invest in the Lord in a sense that he invests in you. God blesses us. I'm just amazed, actually, that not only would God save us, but he would want to bless us. To me, just the fact he saved me, that's enough. But the fact that he wants to, beyond that, bless me and reward me for my pathetic attempts to serve him, that's pretty amazing. Get your eyes fixed on eternity this morning. Think about the decisions you're making before you just blow out of a good church. Have you seen that? Just blow out of a good church. And yet, but where is that decision taking you? What direction are you moving in? The devil doesn't want you to think down the track. He just says, just do this. Just look at this right now. Look at the pleasure. Look at this decision here. Just do this. Just do this. That's the world, isn't it? Make a hasty decision. If it feels good, do it. No, don't do that. Think about where that decision is going to take you. Think about what direction your life is taking. And watch out for the slight deviations that seem so subtle, but over time you end up way away from where you should be. If you're traveling long distance, if you just take a slight... If you just slightly move off course, you say it's just so small. Yeah, but by the time you're supposed to get to your destination, you're way off track. We come to the third and last point now. Not only do we see the development of Moses' faith, the decision of Moses' faith, but look at the departure of Moses' faith. And in verse 15 of Exodus 2, we see that he fled Egypt, and Hebrews gives us further insight here in verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. There was faith behind his departure from Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Look at the principles in Moses' departure. The principles in Moses' departure. By faith, he forsook Egypt. We see there the principle of faith. It took faith for Moses to trust God and leave where he was. Yeah, Moses could have said, well, God put me here. And God did place him in the palace for a time. Be careful of that. And I understand we do need to be careful not to move out of the will of God. But sometimes that's an excuse. Well, God's put me here. Well, what is God dealing with? What is God trying to tell you now in your life? And it takes faith to step out in the will of God. The principle of faith, the principle of separation. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Can't you see the wisdom of God in separating Moses out of Egypt? God was not going to use a man from within the system. God was going to take a man outside of the system and then come back in to actually impact the world, you could say. You know, that's the principle. That's the principle that God uses. There's a movement out there today that says we need to just work from within and break down the walls of separation, and we'll be an influence from within. You know, whenever you violate God's principle of separation, the influence is a one-way street, and you're the one who gets influence, not the people who are compromising. Always. Evil communications, 1 Corinthians 15, corrupt good manners, and the context there is false doctrine. You tolerate false doctrine, you tolerate compromise, and it'll have a corrupting effect on you. That's the reality. And here we see the principles that God was working to here, and it took God taking Moses out of Egypt, the principle of separation, and preparing him and then sending him back to impact Egypt. You know, if you want to have an impact for God, you need to be a separated believer.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean being isolated and shutting yourself off from the world, no, but it means a genuine walk of separation. Yes, we're not afraid to say there are some places we don't go, there are certain things we don't do, and it's more than that. It's not just the don'ts listed, but it's being separated from the world unto God, that we might be used of God and dedicated to God and available for God to use. Andrew Murray wisely said, we have here the great cause of the weakness of faith in our days. There is no separation from the world. So many Christians seek to have as much of its pleasure and honour and riches as they possibly can, consistently with their profession of faith. In such an atmosphere, faith is stifled. Many hardly believe or never remember that the world, with its arts and culture and prosperity, amid all its religious professions, is still the same world that rejected Christ. You're not going to be a force for God. You're not going to be used of God as a compromised believer. Moses had to get out of Egypt in order for God to be able to use him. And God's not going to be able to use you mightily, young person, while you're stuck in Egypt, while you're on Egypt booked, and Instaglyphs and all those places. While you're stuck in that world, you've got to get out of the world in order to do something to impact the world for God. And God is in the business of separating his people and bringing them to a life of consecration and genuine holiness in order that we might be a power for God. Or should I say, in order for God's power to work through us. The principles in Moses' departure, the principle of faith, the principle of separation. The perspective, we're nearly finished, of Moses' departure, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can you see that, again, faith helps you to see things that you would not otherwise see? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We need to get our eyes on God and eternity. Eternity. Live for eternity. And I trust that maybe in some way God would take this message, and if it's needed in your life, get you moving in the right direction. Get you moving in the direction of faith. If you've made some bad, you say, well, it's over for me. I've made bad decisions and now I'm over there. No, don't listen to the devil who tells you have to stay there. Get back on track for the Lord this morning. You've deviated doctrinally. Get back to the right doctrine. You've drifted from the path of faith and separation. Get back to the path of faith and separation. And with God's help, you can make some spiritual recovery in your life. Young people, ask God to give you the eyes of faith to see through this world with its superficiality. Ask God to give you eyes to see eternal things and to set your goal on eternity and eternal rewards. Oh, may God do that in your hearts, how we need a fresh generation of young people who are going to lay hold of God and look forward in faith to eternity and live for eternity. Our world desperately needs those kinds of Christians. Not just our young people, every believer, older saint, you might find yourself at a crossroads this morning. Well, I've walked with God for 40 years. Yeah, but you're still going to come to some trials in your life. You're going to come to some crossroads where you could make a very foolish decision if you don't have the eyes of faith. Moses makes a choice. Your decisions determine your destiny. What choices are you making this morning? Let's bow for prayer, shall we? So every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask Pastor Jeremy just to come and close our service as he feels led, and maybe with a hymn as well. Thank you.
We've been very challenged this morning. I know I have been. And I think it would be very foolish not to give ourselves an opportunity to bow where you are this morning and just to bring your prayers before the Lord. I just encourage you this morning, bow your head. And sometimes we feel very nervous about these things, but I'd like you just to feel free to pray out loud this morning as you bow your heads, and let the prayer of God's people ascend to God as a sweet-smelling savour to him this morning. So just please bow your heads where you are and commit this decision to the Lord. Just say, Lord, would you please help me by your grace to stay on track for you, to make the Lord Jesus Christ the pursuit of my life. And let's just bow your heads now and feel free to pray that out loud this morning.